and other activities related to DelDOT in Sussex County. We'd invite them to come forward, make their presentation. I know you have a PowerPoint at your desk. If you have any questions, Mr. Wilson, I think we're primed for Park Avenue already. Feel free to ask them. Thank you, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Josh Thomas with the Delaware Department of Transportation.
Good morning. Jennifer Snelly with DelDOT Planning.
It's good to see you guys again.
You missed us.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, Todd set us up by saying friends, and we thank you for that. Mr. Riley, we haven't had a chance to meet yet, so it's nice to meet you today.
Sure.
But it's good to see the rest of the council and staff again. We are, as Todd alluded to, you know, in our quest to be better partners with each other, we are here to discuss some CTP. And of course, that's Capital Transportation Program. So we're here to discuss our Capital Transportation Program, where we are with the current program, and then to give you some updates on the projects in your county, projects of interest. So what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to set us up and talk about some higher level topics, and then we have some other DelDOT team members in the room who will come up as needed and introduce themselves as we progress. And they're certainly the ones that are going to have the answers to the project questions that Jen and I may not know. Because obviously we are responsible for the program and doing long-range planning with you.
Before Josh begins, I want to apologize. So we've been trying, Todd and I have been trying to schedule this update for quite a while. And so there are a couple projects where I actually have updates for that you won't be part of the presentation. And actually one of them is Park Road, but I do have the update in front of me, which I will get to Janelle as soon as I can. And Park Avenue has been divided into two phases at this point. And phase one is at the has completed their semifinal plans and design. And phase two has completed their survey plan. So that's where we're at that. And next time we come back to you all, we'll make sure we have that within the presentation for updates.
So where's Park Avenue fit in this? Is it first place or second place or last place?
I don't have that information in front of me. Do you?
I don't.
Brian, do you have any?
I understand
any?
That.
Huh? Yeah, sure. Well, if we're going to talk about, I do want to make sure we take a step back and talk overview, but we can address Park Avenue first. So we'll have Brian come up.
I want you to address it before I forget it.
Brian's coming up here to address it.
Hello, Brian Behrens with DelDOT. Can certainly talk about Park Avenue in a little more detail. Park Avenue relocation has been split into two phases. We received environmental NEPA approval around this time last year to allow us to begin final design. So at that time, we had a couple meetings with Senator Carper, as well as Mr. Lawson, and we made the decision to split that phasing of construction into two phases. We advanced the relocation part first, the part that enables the airport to be have their runway extended. That project is referred to as Park Avenue Relocation Phase One.
Is that one? That is one, right?
That is one project. It'll be built with its own contractor. The idea being we expect to be in construction in the spring of 2021 with that project. The idea being that it should take about 2 years. Then phase two, which goes from where it ties in to existing Park Avenue, right around where the airport is, up to Route 9. That'll be phase two. It'll pick up when that one ends. So about spring of 2023 is when we expect.
I understand that. Hadn't even checked the roads. Road stakes self, see if you put a road in there yet or not. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I understand you haven't driven stakes, see if you're going to put a road in or not.
Driven stakes.
We have not driven any stakes. Right now, we're still doing the design.
Well, I don't know how you're going to design if you don't bother checking it out.
So the survey is complete. We're doing a lot of archaeology investigations, soil borings and test holes for utility
so
relocations.
So what are we expecting to find if we're going to do archaeology there?
I don't know. I don't have an update on archaeology at this time, but we can get back to you.
I don't think anything's buried there.
It is something they're required to do by law.
I understand.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. That's why we have our experts in the room. I'm going to go out of order. Is this not the right version?
That's 2001.
Okay. So we've got, it's okay, I've got notes in front of me that we can give you updated slides. So we're going to start off today. Like I said, I'm going to give you an overview of where we are with the capital transportation program. And the biggest piece of news that I had to share with you today, and you may have heard, is that recently House Bill 66 passed in the state legislature signed by Governor Carney. And what House Bill 66 means is a biennial CTP. And that means that we are moving towards a two-year capital transportation program, moving from a one-year capital transportation program. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means and where we are in the CTP process. And then we're going to go into talking about more specific project updates like we just gave you with Park Avenue. Obviously, this is a something that we'll have to work with you on and explain as we move forward with this, because as I said, this is a recent change. But what it means in a nutshell is it changes the frequency of the formal document approval, because as you know, we have to get our capital program approved by the Council on Transportation at the state. And we have to have state approval of the CTP. And then we also have to have approval by our federal partners at the Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration. So so in layman's terms, what we call that is sort of, we call that the production of the book, the actual formal document that we have to prepare and get federal approval on. Now, this is typically like an 18-month process for a one-year document, so you can imagine how that works administratively. So we're usually running two different cycles at the same time. So what this change allows us to do is it changes the frequency of that approval. And the reason why is that, you know, our funding has been stable. The projects at the beginning of the CTP, meaning the upcoming years, the projects advance from one year to the next, minimal changes on an annual basis, and the new projects that are introduced in the CTP process, they are added in the out years. They are obviously added in years 5 and 6, which are not part of the federal approval. So because the projects are added in the later years, it doesn't change things when we add new projects. We basically add more at a time. So I'm going to go in and show you some of those projects. And then what I'll do is I'll stop if you have questions about 66 before we move on any further. So obviously that was an overview of a big change that's happening right now in the state, and obviously I've got some answers to some of your questions, but this is something that we're having similar discussions with the metropolitan planning organizations in the state, and we are working out the administrative details to get us to that point. But what it means for Sussex County and our process with you is that House Bill 66, it's effective immediately. And what we are doing is we will not be producing a fiscal year 2020 document. We will be moving towards a fiscal 21 document. So where we are now is we have a fiscal year 2019 document. We're going to advance to the fiscal year 21 document, and we are going to skip the preparation of the 20 document. I just want to make sure that's clear. So what that means in terms of our annual process with the county is that the projects that were discussed and proposed, or the projects that were introduced for FY20, they are still on the list. They will just be incorporated into the FY21 CTP. Now, there's an important point I want to make about that, because just to anticipate questions on this, but let me back up a step. So what that means is that the projects we've already been discussing with you for inclusion in FY20, will be incorporated and move forward with 21, and then we'll obviously ask for more, right? Because now we're talking about 2 years worth. So we'll be coming out in the, you know, from the time frame between now and the fall, like we always do with you annually, and we'll be talking about more projects. So we'll be taking what we had before, and we'll be talking about more. But one important thing to note is that this doesn't push things back. This isn't, the time frame for the projects does not change. It's not saying that we're pushing things back another year, like 2 years, right? It's that we are, because the projects are introduced in their later years anyway, we just introduce more projects at a time, if that makes sense. So as I said, I just want to reiterate that what's changing is the frequency of the formal approval. What's not changing is kind of the amount of projects we're doing and kind of when we are anticipating the scheduling of that. So we are able to, as a department, we're able to anticipate how we want to schedule the projects out. What's changing is sort of the administrative burden on us having to get federal approval every single year for something that doesn't necessarily change on an annual basis. So I know that's a lot of information. So with that, I'll ask you guys if you have any questions, and then we'll proceed with the rest of the program. So
any questions, Council?
I don't see Park Avenue on the top row up here. How much car would get hit of us?
This is new stuff that we're not working on yet.
That's correct.
So so you're annually, when you prepare the CTP request letter to DLDOT, this is stuff that we will be introducing and working into future versions of the CTP. So anything we're currently working on, currently programmed, would not be on this particular.
You know why I'm picking on Park Avenue? Because I've been here at least 10 years, and Mike and I came on. We talked about Park Avenue. We got here, right, Mike? Mm-hmm. So we don't expect any better from you.
Park Avenue is already in the current CTP.
We are programmed and we're working on it. And
it's already in design.
And as you know, we also support the airport.
One more year, right? One more slide back, one more year, at least.
With what I propose for 66, it doesn't change scheduling. No. It changes formal document approval.
I think the schedule has been changed, my opinion.
Comment noted. Thank
any
you, sir.
Any more questions, Council?
So,
any questions you can. Oh, Mr. Burton, you have a question.
Sure. So these projects here are new projects to the 2021 project.
CTP, yes.
CTP.
Now, I'm going to ask Jen for clarification only because she was preparing the slides. This is stuff that we pulled from last year's CTP request document.
Correct. So these projects were what you all proposed to us for the 2020 CTP. They've already been given funding years to start. Some of them are like 22, 23. So again, what Josh is saying is that is going to be the 2021 CTP submission with the same funding years as of this moment in time. We will then add any projects that you all proposed to us
this
year. Mm-hmm. To these projects to include in this 2021 CTP.
So like I said, it's 2 years rolled into one document versus doing it annually.
So the confusion of new projects is, so these aren't new projects. These are carried over from the.
Yeah, and technically they're new because we never actually had a final 2020 CTP.
So it was just proposed.
Meaning like
But yeah.
No, it is important to clarify this because the normal process was proceeding as planned until the bill was signed. And that then obviously effective immediately, that is a change. So meaning that IG is correct in the sense that the projects were advancing through the process and then Now it's a change where we're going to add more and then advance that to 21. So they are new in a sense that they haven't been fully integrated into a formal document, but they're not new in the sense that you've seen them before.
Okay, so these aren't in the outlying years.
Well, yeah, they are. Everything that we add to the CTP, the new projects appear at the end of the program, of course, because obviously the projects in the beginning of the program are the ones that were introduced 4 or 5 years ago, right? So the new projects are introduced at the end, and then they advance through the 6-year cycle.
So why wouldn't Park Avenue be on here if you're carrying over the...
It's already in the program.
It's already in our CTP. It's in FY19. Correct.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Correct. Sorry about that.
Anything that we... there's important questions. That's fine. Anything that is a currently approved document program that we are operating under is not, you know... There may be some things on the following slides that you have requested that are currently programmed, but these specific ones are ones that are not an approved document yet.
They are not what?
They are not in an approved document. I'm sorry, I'm a little dry mouth here. They're not in an approved document. So they are
no funding for these projects.
Say that again.
There's no approved funding for these projects.
Well,
this slide.
So as I said, we have an idea of the scheduling and we have an idea of the costs, right? But it's not formally approved in a CTP until 21.
Okay.
So.
And we're asking to meet with council. Todd and I are trying to work out some dates to kind of go through this some more because we do need the new submissions and to do kind of that update again with you all.
Well, we did. That's what we do every year. We did it last year. We obviously had a workshop where we talked about these projects. So what we'll be doing is having a similar workshop like we do annually, but we'll be able to provide more clarification on this. You know, especially if you have more questions, certainly we'd bring them to that meeting. We'd be able to talk about the schedule more, and we would, like I said, we would basically take this list that you're looking at, and then we would pull more things from your request document and integrate all of that into the approval process for FY21. Now, as you know, what that means is that we would have our public workshop that we would have with you in September, we would have that again this September, and we would be presenting FY21, and it would have all of this and more in it.
I get asked the question a lot. Go back to Park Avenue again. You know, it was in FY19, right? CTP.
Mm-hmm.
When would you? I don't know. Guess maybe that would be completed.
Well, I think Brian just answered that. Did he answer that question? Now, I might have to call him back up here again because I don't have the dates like he does. But
spring of 21 is when we'll begin construction on phase one.
So spring of 21 is when construction start to is
begin
to be started.
Mm-hmm.
So on phase one, right, the first phase.
Was there a date on phase two? Was there a date on completion?
About 2 years behind.
So
spring, we think it's going to take about 2 years to build phase one. The idea being we'll start building phase two when we're done with phase one.
So
spring of 23 would be
construction. Phase one construction would start spring of 21, and then phase two, spring of 23, construction would start.
And that's right. A two-year project on beginning 23?
Correct. We're still, we are not as far in design as we are with phase one.
It's still at survey.
It's a ballpark for that.
Yeah.
So it's 2025.
Correct.
But based on that estimate.
Based on that estimate, yes.
You'd be lucky to live long enough to be here.
That's okay.
All right, any further questions on that one? If not, we'll move forward, respectful of everyone's time. The way this is going to work is we're going to have Mark Lutz come up and talk to you a little bit about SR1 median crossovers, and then Jen has prepared a series of slides that show a variety of locations that the county has identified, and then there'll be some project updates there, and you'll be able to ask us questions. Just one thing I want to note is the way that the slides are structured is that, it should be in a format that's familiar to you because Jen looks at the annual request letter, the document that you provide to us each year, and there's a location and a purpose in that document. So the spreadsheet, and I'll just give you a flash preview so you can see what I'm talking about. It's structured in a way that you've got a location and a purpose and a justification, and then what Jen has done is put status updates in that following column that give you further information about whether it's where it's at in the project development process, or whether it's something for further study. So what we'll do is we'll run through the slides and show you the information. Won't discuss it line by line, but then of course ask us any questions you have on the projects. So with that, we're going to bring up Mark.
Thanks, Josh. My name is Mark Lutz from DelDOT. I want to talk a little bit about some proposed median crossovers on Route 1. I do have a handout for the council. I don't know if I should give that to you. So this information was presented to the Five Points Working Group a few weeks ago. Really, since the inception of the Route 1 Corridor Capacity Preservation Program and back in the 90s, DelDOT's been thinking about what we're going to do with some of the median crossovers on Route 1 as this roadway transitions from what it used to be, which was an arterial roadway, until what it's going towards, which is more of an expressway type of a roadway south of Dover. So more recently in 2016 and then in 2017, we collected a lot of traffic data at a lot of the critical crossovers between Route 5 near Milton and Five Points in Lewis. Our task was really to look at the median crossovers and try to come up with a plan that would balance traffic safety with mobility of the road users. So we looked at a variety of factors such as crashes, traffic volume, the roadway network of how easy is it to get around and in and out of Route 1 in certain areas, as well as the geometry of the particular intersections. And from that, we came up with a series of recommendations. These recommendations are summarized in the handout that you have in front of you. And so those, as the slide notes, a combination of some auxiliary lane improvements where we're going to improve flow by making turn lanes longer or installing a median side auxiliary lane that lets left turns get onto Route 1 more easily, as well as turn restrictions, median closures, and some various signing and striping modifications. So this series of recommendations, we're going to be implementing them over the next year and a half, roughly. We expect to have some of these implemented sometime this summer, some more of them in the fall, winter, and then we would hope to get them complete sometime in 2020.
So where's the county line? Where's the county line on this map?
Where's the what?
15.
The what line?
County line.
County.
County line. Yes, Sussex County.
It's all in the county.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah, this map here is only showing from roughly Route 5 north of Milton to Five Points.
I saw it said north on here, but I'm sorry, my glass don't show it. Can't be that small already.
It's the old eyes, not the glasses.
So.
I got the same thing.
You got some
it's the old eyes, not the glasses.
Do you all have any questions?
Questions?
This actually was something that Peter Hague and I had gone in front of one of the groups that live in Cave Neck Road area, and these were something that they had pointed out, and asked that we take a look at. So we absolutely appreciate, their input and then being able to make this happen for them and the other residents in the area that have issued some complaints about the highways.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. No question.
Is 1415 down to Sellville?
1415 is near Nassau.
Okay.
For Five Points area.
And that's Route 1, right?
That's Route 1.
It's all along the Route 1 corridor. That's correct.
So all the improvements goes to Route 1.
On that.
That's what this is
on that piece of
focusing on, right?
Give me the other piece of paper. I'd like to see what's on 113.
Well, he's talking about this just now.
So that's what they're going to cover next is all the rest of the projects in the rest of the program.
I got one more question. Just talk to me about Cave Neck Road. Prohibit eastbound Cave Neck Road left turns and southbound SR1 U-turns. Mm-hmm. What's that look like? I can read the words, I don't understand.
Sure, so with a combination there of signing, striping, and the tubular markers, the little bollards that we put in the road, we're going to basically make it so that at Cave Neck Road, you'll still be able to make the, say, the northbound left turn onto Cave Neck.
So I'm going south now.
So if you were going north and you want to turn onto Cave Neck, you would still be able to do that. But if you're coming out of Cave Neck and you want to go north, you will not be able to do that directly at the intersection. Your choices would either be to find another way, there's other ways around the network, or you'd be able to make a right turn and then make a U-turn at the next crossover farther down to the south.
So something like 10th Street in Milford is what that sounds like to me.
So you got to do a U-turn to go north.
If you were staying right there, we would expect some traffic will do that and other traffic will find another way.
And what about Minos Conaway? Talk to me about that. What happens there?
So there we are, as my eyes are getting worse, apparently. So there we are just, the only thing we're doing there in the short term is improving the right turn acceleration lane. So coming off of Minos Conaway and going south on Route 1, improving that acceleration lane. Now, Minos Conaway, Nassau, and Tulip, which are listed as number 11, 14, and 15 on your list there, are all going to get significant improvements as part of bigger projects that Jen or Brian are going to talk to you about later. But those are coming a little bit, that's not going to happen as quickly.
Okay, but on, so that you will be able to go north from Minos Conaway.
That's our plan for now, is that we were not making changes there in the short term.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Have you ever considered a stoplight there at Cave Neck?
So that's a hot button question. Okay. So as part of, the short answer is yes, but as part of the decade long now corridor preservation program, part of that program is that we are removing traffic signals from Route 1. We're not adding them. So that's kind of the big picture long-term answer to that. In the short term, we have at least considered, you know, should we put in a signal in the short term until some of these grade separations are completed? And we are not in favor of that because all of the data that we see related to new traffic signals on high-speed roadways like this is that we see an increase. So we see an increase in total crashes. We see an increase. We would usually see a reduction in angle crashes, an increase in total crashes, a dramatic increase in rear-end crashes, and the most concerning thing that we've been seeing in our studies recently is that when we're putting a signal on this kind of a road, we're seeing an increase in injury crashes. So for both the long-term reasons of not putting new signals on this roadway and the more short-term, the signals aren't solving the problem. So therefore, that's why we're pushing ahead with the grade separations and in the short term, pushing ahead with these crossover modifications.
The lights are great for breaking up traffic and creating spaces. And I don't know, you're just getting people down the road faster so they get into Lewis or Hill with a little quicker.
So we've studied the breaking up of traffic as well. And as noted previously, that's been a topic in the Cape Gazette of the last week or two. So there's a couple things there with Route 1. So Route 1 is not, I don't have a good analogy, but it's not just like a hose pointing at 5 points. So coming down Route 1, first you get a major split of traffic out going to other points in Milford, right? So you split off 113 in Milford. So there's only a certain amount of traffic, even without the signals at Little Heaven and points north that have been removed over the last couple of years, Thompsonville. There's only so much traffic that a two-lane road can funnel. And you draw a good chunk of that off, depending on the time of day, it could be 30 to 50% of the traffic is going down 113 to other parts of Sussex and Maryland. So first, you can only get so much traffic down Route 1 in Kent. You're funneling a good chunk of that off into 113. And then as you go farther south, yes, there is some metering effect of the signal at Route 16 or any potential new signal we put in. But what we actually see is that we are gaining traffic significantly as we get farther south. North of Route 16, during the summer peaks, we might have something like 1,700 vehicles an hour north of Route 16 coming south. By the time we get closer to Five Points, it's all the way up to 2,400 vehicles an hour. So the idea that there's a gigantic difference in pulling that signal out, or whatever else we would get from other signals, it gets filled in anyway. So there'll be some difference, but we don't expect a dramatic difference in traffic getting to Five Points with or without the signals there.
More questions?
I got one more. So we're back on the Cave Neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go north. So I'm going to go south and turn around and go north.
Correct.
Are you extending the merge lane to the first U-turn, right? Because you're going to force me back onto Route 1.
Right. If you stay at that intersection, right, you make a right, and then you have to merge over a lane, and then you have to make a left.
Are you giving me room to accelerate on the northbound lane? I got to blend into Route 1 now.
I'm not positive. I need to double check that one.
Good question.
Because that's what's missing at Minos Conaway.
Right.
Right? I mean, you just got to, there's no lane.
It's a yield. Right, right. You know? I will double check on that one. I mean, the other benefit of all these crossover modifications is, as you all know, a lot of the crossovers are just a free-for-all right now. And, you know, people don't know where to go. I mean, you're supposed to keep to the right when you're going through a crossover, but some people don't do that. They don't understand it. And then traffic locks itself. If there's a heavy volumes, it locks itself up. So by restricting some of these movements, you get rid of a lot of that chaos, which, number one, it's chaotic. And number two, it does lead to some of the crashes. So by spreading them out, and yes, it makes some of the movements a little less convenient, but I'll double check on that one. I'm not positive.
And again, it's improving the safety in the area until we're able to get the major improvements done to help the people cross more safely.
Okay. More questions?
Well, we just use flyovers. Like
that's what we're working towards. That just takes longer to get to.
Well, we should have done that long way before now. Instead of Frederick.
That's a much longer story, sir.
Been a lot cheaper done to flyover.
Well, we've been working on flyovers for years and years on this whole corridor.
You know, a flyover is not like that route up there, Frederica, where you go away at the field, turn around, come back with that crossover. I'm talking about a genuine flyover like there is in Florida.
So
just run off the edge of the road and get right on over the other side.
There's pros and cons to the various different designs, and we work through all those through a public process that...
You know what I'm talking about down in Florida,
yeah,
right? You
I understand.
Saw that, what
sure.
they do down there?
Well, we have them in Delaware, too. I agree with you that I wouldn't call the ones that we're doing on Route 1 flyovers. We're calling them great separated intersections.
Right. We're spending a lot of money. It's unnecessary. We're taking up land. It's unnecessary. We could build three for price of one. What we're doing up here at Frederica, especially up here to sports complex. It's ridiculous. Money spent up on that crossover there. On that, you know what I'm talking about.
I understand, yes.
That's in Kent County. Yep.
Any more questions about Sussex County?
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. I thought you'd save a little money.
Thanks.
So they
to save something down here, right?
So maybe we'll start charging tolls because we want to make sure it's a B-way. Straight way down here.
There you go.
And so now Brian Behrens from South Project Development at DelDOT is going to be joining me. But I'm going to kick off with the Five Points intersection, which is part of the working group study that we've been conducting for over a year now. We originally came in with the mission to move traffic, local traffic, around more safely and more efficiently in this area. There have been final recommendations that were submitted in last October. We have kicked off phase two, which we will be coming out to our working group members shortly with some updates as to the meeting frequencies and outreach that we're going to be doing over the course of the next year. And I just want to stop for a minute and ask if there's any questions in regards to the Five Points Transportation Study.
Any questions, Burton?
Wow. Okay, so I'll hand it over to Brian.
Hello again. So I won't go through line by line here, but just highlight some of the ones that you know are important. And if you, of course, want to stop me and ask any questions about anything you see up there, feel free. Some of the projects that you see here, want to just call out The ones towards the bottom there, the SR-24 corridor is about to go through a facelift. So you'll see some of those on the slides throughout here. The first one, first two projects, they kind of go almost at the same time or at the ends. The ones that near Coastal Highway where we're widening, and then down near Millsboro at Mount Joy Road and Bay Farm Road. Those are almost nearing completion with the design and acquisition phase. Construction is expected to begin.
What are you planning to do there?
Where specifically?
At Mount Joy and 24.
So most of the projects along the SR-24 corridor are what we call operational improvements, where we're
turn lanes
are longer where they need to be, where we don't have left turn lanes, we put them in, right turn lanes, things of that nature. But up near Coastal, we're doing a little bit more work widening to match the widening that was done years ago. That'll extend and tie in just east of Love Creek, basically, but to accommodate a lot of the capacity that's needed.
Is Mountain Air still going to be coming through Millsboro?
I'm sorry?
Is Mountain Air still going to be coming through Millsboro?
So I think you're referring to the North Millsboro bypass project, so we are working on that, and that'll show up later in these slides.
Well, that's an economic driver for Sussex County.
Okay.
Mountain Air. We're going to try to shut Mountain Air down, or we're going to build a route to it?
So I could just jump to the North Millsboro bypass. So that project is in design right now. It's a northern bypass of downtown Millsboro. It'll pick up right at Route 20 where the gas station is. There'll be an overpass flyover there. It's a two-lane road that will then tie in just west of Mount Air on Route 24. That will, you know, the thinking with that is you accommodate a lot of the truck traffic that contributes to the bottleneck in downtown Millsboro and at the light of Route 24.
Where that bypass crosses 30, is that going to be an overpass over 30?
Yes, it will go over 30. So there will not be an intersection at 30. There'll be a ramp from the bypass to Route 30.
The entrance and exit.
Correct. You'll be able to access the bypass from Route 30. Yep.
Related question. Representative Collins was going to submit a request for a study on another bypass near Rust Store on 24 over to 113. Are you aware of that?
So I'm aware of Representative Collins' requests to look at another crossing of the waterways there, and a lot of that was studied years ago in the North-South, 113 North-South study that I'm sure you all are familiar with. That was a four-lane, you know, basically another Route 1 in the county, and that you know, for a lot of reasons, is not being pursued any longer. But if Representative Collins brings something again.
You said that's not being pursued no more?
That is what the North Millsboro bypass now is.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Right, but he was asking, for an additional consideration.
I think it was a separate effort now.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was studied previously.
So it's not in the works at this point?
At this point, I don't know, but I can get back to you on that. Moving down the slides here, another SR-24 project similar to the ones at Mount Joy and Bay Farm are at Route 5 and 23, operational improvements, longer turn lanes. We just completed the construction, the double right turn lane in front of Deltec on 404 coming into 113. So that has been a good project for us. If you want to go to the next one.
Well, the next item I can speak to is the coastal corridors Route 404 study that we're conducting. We did start data collection on that, so stay tuned. That'll be the next 5 points kind of study going on.
Jim, what's the timeline on the 404?
404, we have no timeline as of the moment. We had to install some more Bluetooth data collectors, and we really want to get some summer travel information to make sure that the information that we are getting is as accurate as possible. That way, it'll help us kind of determine which corridors are going to be included in the study, because this could be potentially very big with how people are getting from 404 in Maryland through Delaware into the different beach towns here.
That, I assume, with an expectation that could be a four-lane road at some point?
We have no idea at this point in time. I mean, literally all I'm aware of is that stuff is coming into Bridgeville. From that point, we're not certain where it's going. So that's what these Bluetooth readers are going to tell us, hopefully, especially with the summer traffic coming through, especially with Maryland's having done their four lanes. We're not sure that that's what's going to happen. I mean, we could find out that everybody's coming in on 16 or every, you know what I mean? We need to know where they're actually coming from and which direction they're traveling. So stay tuned.
Well, I'm not really worried about the tourists anyway. They'll keep one lane come down.
Well, okay. We're kind of worried about traffic moving through the state.
I think we need to move local trucks around here.
Yeah.
So you can get the...
Well, trucks will be using the roads, too.
So you can at least get to chicken plants. Can't get to plants.
Yeah.
You know agriculture's still number one as an economic driver here? And here we are, messing around worrying about tourists. We ought to get off that.
Well, the farmers can use these new roads, too, or whatever.
Pardon?
The farmers can use these roads we're talking about, too.
Well, that's because it gets so many down here, we have to use a new road.
There you go.
Well, and speaking, progress, oh, I'm sorry.
I don't call it much progress.
Okay.
Were you going to New Road?
I am. I'm going to New Road. Speaking of New Road, so Mike Hahn apologizes for not being able to be here. He is our byways coordinator for DelDOT. So I do have his update for the information. Is coming, he's hoping June 20th will be the next public workshop. We have that date in as a tentative date, but he's pretty sure that's going to get locked down this week sometime. There's a lot of stuff going on. They've divided it into four different segments. And of course, one of the segments is the bridge, which I will speak to next, which is scheduled to be funded 2023 under the State of Good Repair. But again, it's going to tie into the New Road Master Plan and other projects in the area because the bridge can't actually happen where they're going to have to kind of raise the approaches for the bridge to be completed. So the other projects in the area will need to be done first.
It just seems to me that New Road, Old Orchard, West Coast Corner, Nassau are all tied together. But is there a master plan for that?
So we're waiting on New Road to be adopted by DelDOT. The master plan, once it's complete, we have to still go through the revision and the public workshops are, you know, we're trying to get some of the feedback from the public to make sure that everybody is okay with what's happening there. Once we're able to say, here's the master plan that's been accepted by DelDOT, once Brian gets a little further in his planning for his projects that are all inclusive in that area, we'll be able to kind of make sure that we go as kind of that master plan vision for that area.
So
I think it's a little
easier. I can expand on that a little bit. So the projects you're referring to are, you know, we have three big projects kind of all in the same area. We've got the Minas Conaway Grade Separation Project. We've got the relocation of Old Orchard Road to West Coates Corner. And then you've got this New Road Master Plan effort. And, you know, the New Road Master Plan effort is, they're all separate endeavors, and especially the DelDOT capital projects, the Minas Conaway project, and the realignment of Old Orchard project, they are projects of their own need. Basically, a lot of it safety-driven. But they do affect each other. And what the department has been doing, you know, has been preparing this, you know, basically a traffic analysis of that area, how they're all going to play with each other once they're built. And I think that we're close to talking about that. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I envision us going back in front of the, you know, the city of Lewis,
right,
and presenting that type of information to them, because that's where a lot of that originated, you know, in the last year. But you know, that's it's a good question to bring up. But they are all projects of their own need, especially those other two. And the New Road Master Plan is a Lewis-led effort that DelDOT's participating in, which is a good thing because it allows us all to put our heads together. The people who are doing the designing of those projects, as well as, you know, the interests of the people who live along New Road and the town of Lewis, and hopefully we can all come up with something that DelDOT can adopt and will implement and can implement, and then proposed development that comes along that corridor can also implement, that has been, you know, I guess blessed or adopted by a collective group.
We have seen a really good willingness on developers' part thus far to kind of help us get to our goals, right? Like, so Groom Church has worked with us. Different people are coming to the table now and helping us reach that vision of it being a master planned area. So, you know, that was the one thing we did hear from the city was we need to look at this as like a big picture, kind of like what you were saying, see the bigger picture versus just each project, even though each project absolutely individually has its own supports and needs, safety-wise, the whole traveling area-wise. I mean, anyone who's tried to make a left off Old Orchard onto Savannah Road knows how tragic that is. So, again, we are staying focused. And as Brian said, we do owe the city that information that we've collected. The data has been under evaluation. I think we're almost ready to go back and tell them what our data is showing in regards to how people are going to use that corridor, which ways they're going to travel. And again, we still have the Five Points Working Group feeding us information that they see daily on the roads in the area.
Will the traffic study that Lewis is anxiously awaiting, it will take you from Route 1 at New Road to Kings Highway? Is that the traffic count?
I think it's
New, Old Orchard, Clay.
I think it's
Kings.
Minus Conway is included in that.
Minus.
I don't know specifically, but we can get back to you.
Yeah. We'll have to look at the parameters
because
Clay
very
Road
important
comes in there too. I'm not sure where the parameters are, but I know that it was a big, that's why it's taken us so long to collect all that data. We had to do some future projections and calculations as well to try and understand, you know, growth and the neighborhoods that were coming online. And then again, anticipated growth for neighborhoods, for properties that are vacant that could potentially become developed.
Because there is a lot of development pressure and it's hard for us to make a decision without traffic counts. And it's just hard to do that. And if you're going to make these improvements, which I think are great, and they're going to change the pattern, what's the change?
Right.
Right. That's the information that I think that we are.
You have the shoulders on present. New Road yet.
I could use them. You know, just tagging along, you mentioned the topic of, you know, master plan, quote unquote. And just leafing through here, I see virtually all these projects are kind of the, you know, Lewis, Rehoboth, Millsboro area. I don't see anything for the Route 20, Route 54, Fenwick area, at least not in this packet. And when I meet with people down there, they're continuously asking for, please, some sort of, you know, study, master plan is what they're terming it, you know, for the traffic in that area. I don't know. Is there anything in the works for that?
I do know there was a couple of projects that were listed in the CTP, and I can get back to you with what they actually were. The problem is that we've waited so long because of funding, lack of funding, and we now have almost what I think for Five Points we consider a crisis situation, which is why we formed the working group and why we're moving forward with all of these projects in this specific area. Again, we have residents in Lewis and Rehoboth telling us we are literally barricaded in our homes on the weekend, right? Like, we cannot get out during the weekend in the summer. And again, I understand it's coast-wide.
Yeah,
goes all the way
you
down.
Get down to Johnson Road, and traveling from Johnson Road down to 54, I've anecdotal, I know, but people tell me that it can take an hour to 2 hours to travel that short distance in the summertime. I mean, I understand people exaggerate, but that, you know, that's a rapidly developing area. You know,
it don't really go nowhere, does it?
Josh Thomas again. I just wanted to add some more insight on that. Jen mentioned to you the what we're currently looking at for 404. 404 is the impetus for the study, but certainly we're calling it coastal corridors because we're going to be looking. You know, we're going to be analyzing this data to figure out what it's telling us about the travel patterns, especially with the tourist traffic, and how that affects all of you know, the east-west travel roads. So we're going to be looking at you know, those particular roads as potential, like, you know, where do they fit into the study? What do we need to do and consider in the future? Because as Jen mentioned, a lot of the projects you're seeing in the CTP, and as Mr. Wilson has mentioned, have been on the books for years, and we have more stable funding and are able to kind of go through some of that backlog. Going forward, the reason why you're going to see a lot of information about study in here is we have to, as a department, as partners with you, we have to adopt new plans and studies that will bring the future projects. So that's kind of like the, you know, like we have plans that plans and studies that were done years ago that have produced some of the projects we're seeing now. So anything that is not considered, that's what we need to study and consider now. So the way we would do that is we would essentially look at the comprehensive plan for Sussex County, which we, you know, which we developed with the county. So we would say, we start with the comp plan. What are the priorities and strategies in the comp plan? What are the next focus areas for us to study? And then that leads to projects in the future. So it's definitely an ongoing dialogue that we'll look into that as part of Coastal Corridors, and also, as we implement your comp plan, that's something that we're always looking for is what strategies and recommendations in the comp plan are we not working on now, and how can we work on them? So,
and short answer is no.
Well,
there's not anything in the works or being done.
No, so long term studies that are funding big projects. No, there have been projects on the corridor that have been in the program.
I meet with the groups down there on a pretty regular basis. Maybe late summer, early fall, be available to come down with me and maybe just answer their questions directly.
Yeah, we coordinate that through Jen, because what we would do is we would have to just determine what the scope of the meeting is, and if you want information from us about long-term planning for the area, then I would be able to set up a presentation for you that's specific to what you want to hear, and with visuals and stuff to help, because it is a lot of information.
I'd like to plan that. There's about a dozen homeowners groups down there that meet pretty regular.
Yeah, and it is easier to assemble some groups. I mean, not that we couldn't travel around. I just mean
let's
if you
that
yeah yeah let's talk about that outside of this, but certainly.
They're not going anywhere anyway.
Well, and just so you know, I do
vacation.
I do go and meet with municipalities when I'm asked to meet with them. I've been down to South Bethany, speaking to them about their kind of bicycle issues and safety and how they can improve some of the things that they do down there. I connect them with the people in my section or in our agency that they need to speak with in regards to any issues they might be having. So again, I'm more than happy to go and talk to anyone and bring whoever I need to with me.
All right. Any other questions on New Road or General Lewis? Just kind of keeping the Lewis theme, another project just to highlight for you guys.
Here's maybe another, but you've got an opportunity right now from Route 9, it's down to potentially create another bypass road that would extend all the way down to 24, and possibly even further. The land is open right now. Have you looking at anything like that? Because Plantation's going to be I see you're improving that, but that's going to get full, and we probably need another bypass road at some point too.
Okay, Josh Thomas again. I'm back. What you're talking about is one of the major recommendations to come out of the 5 points working group. So as Jen mentioned earlier, that is that. Those recommendations have been formally delivered to DelDOT, and that was actually one of the priorities of the working group. So the way that works going forward is that as I mentioned, I was talking about studies before. The recommendations of that working group then spawn specific studies that we need to do so we can actually work towards implementing and creating projects. So that is something that's it's an old concept and idea, but it's been renewed.
Right.
There's a renewed focus and support because, as Mr. Hudson and Mr. Burton know from participating on the working group with us, we have to have support. So the working group has provided the new support we have to move forward with that. So we will be moving forward with that recommendation. And as we communicate with the working group, we'll be, as we know more and work through the recommendations, we'll be able to provide updates on how things are progressing. So we'll definitely we can definitely keep you informed on that.
More questions?
The Plantation Road project, we've also split that into two phases. The first phase takes it from US 9 to around Robinsonville Road, and the second phase takes it from there up to Route 24. The first phase, we expect to start with right-of-way acquisitions around a year from now and begin construction a year and a half after that, so fall of 2021. It's kind of moving on. So those two there, they're the Route 24 projects that we talked about before, excuse me. And the one at the bottom there, US 9 and 5, that's in construction right now. Expect that to be wrapped up by the late summer or fall. again, Route 24 projects. The first one there is similar to the others with operational improvements. There we have Minus Conway and Route 1. So that project is in design right now. We expect to go to begin right-of-way acquisition in, in the fall of 2020, and then begin construction in the spring of 2023. Just highlighting some of the projects here, another SR 2024 project. I think that might be the same one as before, might be a duplicate. And then down at the bottom, again, realignment of Old Orchard Road. As we've discussed, that's also in design. Second one there, that's our, the US 9 Market Street and Sand Hill Road. That's our Georgetown East Gateway project, the one that the department received a federal Tiger grant for. That is moving along. It's in right-of-way acquisition. Expect to advertise that project just after the new year and begin construction about a year from now.
What kind of grant you say? I didn't understand.
I'm sorry. It was a federal Tiger grant. Just a
Tiger
called
grant?
Tiger.
Tiger. It's just an acronym. I couldn't tell you what it stands for at the moment.
Like transportation.
It's an acronym for something. Yeah, it's whatever.
Tiger means bird getting run, huh?
Yeah. There's North Millsboro Bypass that we discussed. And then another one down there, Discount Land Road in Laurel. That's in design as well.
The next couple slides, the two bridges that we have listed, obviously these are not the only bridges that are being put through the system. In Sussex County, there's one improvements being done all countywide. These were just two of the bigger ones that we wanted to point out to you. Obviously, the one in Rehoboth is probably the most identifiable one. Construction starts this August, with lane closures starting the week of September 22nd, and it should be complete by May 2020, hopefully in time for the next season of beachgoers. August. So, and then...
Did you say August?
Construction starts in August, so that could be any, no, they're saying they're not doing lane closures until the week of September 22nd, so hopefully the tourists or beachgoers will still be able to come and go pretty freely until September 22nd.
One more thing there, just on Park Avenue that we talked about, so we do have a public workshop coming up for that. Just, I know that you're interested in that project. The public workshop next Tuesday. Next Tuesday night at Del Dot South District.
So here in Georgetown. And then... there's some pavement rehab updates. We just picked out, again, there's pavement rehabs going on countywide. These are just some of the bigger pavement rehab projects that will be going on. The Route 113 north of Georgetown is going to begin work in April. Well, already has started work, I guess, in April. So a lot of these have been awarded. The canal bridge to North Dewey Beach town limits, which is the other bridge going that goes over Route 1 southbound. So we just wanted to point those out for y'all. That's all we have.
Any more questions?
I just got.
Can I have a business card?
can you just give me an update on Old Landing Warrington Road? What is that? It's on your list.
That was, I believe, one of the...
It's one of the newer ones, I think.
Yes, Old Landing and Warrington Road intersection improvement. So that was is one of the ones that was introduced for the 2020 CTP that will now move into the 2021 planning for CTP.
Okay, so there's not a plan. That's moving it into the plan.
Right. So again, it was already out to 22-23 funding to start for design. So again, we're still years away from it having been funded. So it'll go now. You'll see the formal funding established in the FYCTP 21.
Okay. What are you going to do there?
I'm sorry?
What will you be doing at Old Landing in Warrington?
Yeah, intersection improvements. I mean, so the public, obviously, they keep asking us this, especially like at five, when we meet at Five Points. And I believe our director has pretty much said, we just don't know yet, right? We're going to have to do studies to find out before we get to that point where we end up going out to public workshop and being in design. I mean, there's still a lot of processes ahead of that anything happening.
That's at least 20 years, right? Oh, study.
You never know. At least. Any more questions? Thank you all very much
Thank
for coming
you.
Down and for your presentation. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to be here and go build that roof right away. I know that.
Mr. Lawson.